thanks for being here tonight. Actually, the Lord's Koine Greek class, because Koine Greek, I believe, is a language that isn't known anymore, even by modern day Greeks. Koine Greek, we know, was the language. It's called Common Greek. It was a language that the Lord used to put forth His New Testament truth, if we want to use the word New Testament. And I believe that it's really important for us to understand the Koine, no matter how far we get, because this will help us to study the Word of God. It'll help us to properly translate the Word of God. For there are errors that are in the English versions that we have of the Word of God. And it's always important to note the context of the English words or the Greek roots or the forms in which we study. Always remember, I've learned this, that the context is really important when you're trying to understand the meaning of Koine roots and words. I mean roots and forms, pardon me. I hope that all of you have your B vitamins cranking in your brains tonight, because I believe that we're going to need some B vitamins as we go through the lesson at the end of chapter 3. It's going to take some... that's right, Gary. It's going to be important as we study through the lesson at the end of chapter 3. It's very important that we are aware of what's going on as we go through this lesson, and be very very precise and really be noticing you know what we're learning. Actually, I'd like to open up this Greek Koine Greek class with a word of God, a word of prayer to our Lord. Pardon me. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray that your blessing would be upon the study of the Koine Greek language, because all that are in here tonight, all the saints that are in here tonight, are important, and are that is, they are concerned and willing to learn the language of your original scriptures, of your original New Testament scriptures, and they all have a heart that loves you. And in that sense, we pray that your blessing will be upon all of us. We know that learning the Koine Greek takes effort, but we know that this effort can be a joyous one, as in the study of your entire Word of God. We don't study the Word of God because we have to. We study the Word of God because we love you and we want to. That should be within our hearts. We're to work out our own salvation with respect to you, and knowing that you are a rewarder of those that seek you, and we pray that in this life that we might have hearts that sincerely seek you out. And we know that you will reward us with the knowledge of who you are and how you presented us, presented yourself to us through your only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, God in the flesh, and that the Holy Scriptures, which are so very precious, do testify of that. So with that in mind, we pray for your blessing this evening upon the study of your Koine Greek. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Mediator, and our Head. Amen. Well, we always open up Greek classes with the pronunciation of the alphabet and with the pronunciation of the Koine Greek diphthongs. The reason I do this, and I will do this at the beginning of every class, is that these certainly are important fundamental building blocks in understanding and working with the Koine Greek. You know, you don't have to be a master of the Koine Greek to work with it in your studies, but you have to get the basic building blocks down so you know what you're doing. As you, yes, D is recording. As you peruse through your lexicons, a lexicon is a Koine Greek dictionary of your scriptures. And in order for you to understand this Koine Greek dictionary, you have to understand what letters you're looking at, of course. So I'll turn to page 2 and just pronounce these out loud to yourself, if you would, because pronouncing them helps your mind incorporate them and remember them. Page 2, the Koine Greek alphabet, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, chi, omicron, pi, rho, sigma, tau, upsilon, phi, chi, psi, or psi, omega. And then just turn the page to the Koine Greek diphthongs, which are two vowels that are set together in the Koine Greek, and then they have a particular, the diphthongs, seven proper diphthongs, have particular pronunciations. You'll see these a lot. We've said this time and time again. You will see these diphthongs a lot. They're very important to get down and remember when you are studying Koine Greek roots and forms. Alpha iota is pronounced I as an ion. Epsilon iota is pronounced A as an arene. Omicron iota is pronounced oi as an oikos. Upsilon iota is pronounced we as in huios. Alpha upsilon is pronounced au as in autos. Epsilon upsilon is pronounced u as in ulogetas. Omicron upsilon is pronounced u as in uranas. And then as far as the meaning of these words, or these forms, pardon me, Greek forms, because that's what they are. Again, I'll emphasize this, that these are not words, they're forms. But that's getting very technical. Aeon, or ion, pardon me, I made a mistake. Ion means age. You'll run into that a lot in New Testament scriptures. Eirene means peace. Of course, you'll run into that a lot in the Koine Greek scriptures. Oikos means house, like oikonomia, which means house rule or dispensation. Huios, meaning son. That's our called name, huiothesion, which means son placing or adopted sons, the adoption of sons. We are adopted sons, regardless of sex. We are adopted sons, and that brings us tremendous privileges to, as far as our dear Heavenly Father is concerned. Do we feel these privileges at this present time? Do we smell them, see them, feel them? For the most part, no. Do we have the inspiration of the sealer, the Holy Spirit? Yes, we do. That's how we understand that we certainly are adopted sons of God. And this is extremely important because it is a truth that is astounding and that our dear Heavenly Father wants us to know. Autos means self. You'll see that a lot in the New Testament. Ulogetas, that means a blessed be or praise be to our dear Heavenly Father for what He's done for us. And Uranus, meaning heaven, you'll find that a lot in your studies in the Koine Greek scriptures. Gary's got a question. Does a leading upsilon iota always have a rough breathing? Upsilon iota. Well, I don't know for sure. I'm not sure about that. That's another question that I don't know how to answer you, Gary. What's going on here? That's two questions you've asked so far. I don't know what the answer is. You know, for the most part, I guess we could research that out. In the Greek forms of the New Testament, maybe I'll look into that. I think Gary asked a question about iota. He asked the question a few weeks ago, which I haven't found the answer to, about that's okay. You know, I mean, this is a, you know, we're not, this is, there's no test here. That's the beauty of this class. There's no test. We're all learners. I'm a learner. I'm no expert by any means whatsoever. And so we're all learning here. I invite any and all questions at any time. Feel free, and never feel apprehension or something about asking a question in any class that I teach, whether it be of the scriptures or whether it be of the Koine Greek. I'm just a soul out there that wants to know the Lord. That's the way I've always been, and that's the way hopefully I always will be. And I ask a lot of questions. Now, as far as upsilon iota, Gary's asking, does it always have a rough breathing? Huio, Thesian, I'm not sure. But what I can do to find that out is we can look at Greek forms that have this diphthong in it. And we should be able to find that out. I'll go check that out tonight or in the following days, okay? And I should have an answer to that one anyway for you, Gary. I don't know about the iota. He asked if iota is ever, I think in this text of Dr. Black's, he said that iota is sometimes pronounced iota. Iota, iota. Iota and iota. And how do we know the difference? I don't know. But hold on to your hats, and eventually, Lord willing, we'll find the answers to these things. But certainly, Gary, I will look into that. Upsilon iota, if it's always wheel with a hard breathing. That's what Gary's asking. All right, now we're going to do a bit of review again. We're going to do some vocabulary, which is really important. And then we're going to go into, last time I stated that we should have the... at the end of chapter 3, maybe you can, or lesson 3, you can turn there. Why don't we all turn there? It's on page 24 and 25. Pages 24 and 25, and it says translate the following sentences. And we're going to do that tonight. And being very, seeing what's happening, because what's going to happen in these lessons is a lot of things that we should have learned so far are going to be brought in the translation of these sentences or Greek forms, okay? And it's really excellent. And see, I think last time I mentioned that that we should all have workbooks, and we really should. I mean, if you're really serious about this, you should have at least two or three workbooks. And we stated that in one of these workbooks you're going to put down all of the vocabulary that we go over, because the reason for this is that as you write these Greek, Koine Greek roots and forms, you'll be forming the letters, you'll be putting the punctuation in, and then you'll be seeing you know, what Greek forms have and what English meaning to these forms there are. And then this is actually just constant reinforcement. And I can't say enough about that because, hey, we're learning a language here. We're learning a foreign language. But, you know, one thing about it is I believe the Holy Spirit will help us, unlike learning German or something like that. I believe that there's a power that's going to help us in the Word of God, and that's the Holy Spirit. And that's what's going to bring in joy about learning this, because it's all going to reinforce itself, and then it's going to reinforce your knowledge of the Scriptures. And I can't stress that enough. That's, you know, I do have some, over the years, I do have some personal things that I've learned. You know, I mean, I say I'm no expert, but I have learned some things. The Lord has taught me some things by endeavoring into His Scriptures, and I am a son of God, an adopted son of God, so, you know, I think that that has real meaning. Well, at any rate, let's turn to page 10 again, and we're just going to read a little bit about inflection. All right, and we'll find out a lot of Greek forms are inflected. Actually, maybe all of them. Let's just read this. The gray box. The gray boxes are really important. This is page 10. All right, Gary. Page 10. As in English, the great majority of Greek sentences contain verbs as essential elements. The primary goal of this lesson, lesson 2, was to understand the concept of inflection in a Greek verb. The word inflection comes from the Latin inflecto, I bend. Inflected forms are bent or altered from the simplest root, either by changes to the root, or changes of the form by the addition of morphemes. See, he uses the word, and I'm using, which I think is more correct, the root or the form. There are no Greek words. There are Greek roots or forms. And the reason I emphasize this so much is because we're not Greek. You know, we were brought up on the English. And the Koine Greek doesn't have words. It has roots and forms. So if we never heard the English word, we'd be walking around saying the Koine has roots and forms. All right? And that's why I emphasize that, because as Eddie the Greek, our friend, says, you have to put on the Greek thinking part of your brain when you're studying the Greek. English helps because it helps you to understand the Koine Greek. But once you start getting into the Koine Greek, you're going to be thinking like a Koine Greek person rather than an English person. Does that make sense? And then your mind will be more attuned to the Koine Greek. You'll be more, it'll take over your mind more, and you'll start understanding the Word of God more, because it was written in Koine Greek and not English. If that makes sense. It does really make sense. It does. And it just takes time and effort. It takes time and effort and diligence. You know, but I think, you know, like I pray before these lessons, and I'm not going to try to ramble on here, but I pray about these lessons, and I think to myself, well, what are we all doing here? All of us tonight and others that join us. What are we doing this for anyway? Well, I think that it's really important, because all of us are concerned with understanding God's Word better. And no better choice of vocation for us than to try to understand God's Holy Word more. So I pray about these sessions sincerely before I even come to the mic. Okay, it goes on to state in the gray box, it is essential to grasp the concept of inflection, as well as the broad perspective of the Greek verb system before studying the changes themselves. Now, we're going to just read a few sentences under the word inflection there, number 12. Koine Greek, unlike English, is a highly inflected language. All right? So that's where we start departing from the English. The Koine Greek is a highly inflected language. Inflection means bending. So, you know, we all of a sudden we learn, hey, that's the difference between Koine and English. We have a lot of inflected forms in the Koine Greek, which we're not familiar with. So we have to become more familiar. Inflection refers to the changes roots undergo in accordance with their grammatical function in a sentence. Although Koine Greek contains numerous inflected roots, most Greek roots undergo... Although Koine Greek contains numerous uninflected roots, most Koine Greek roots undergo inflection. These roots, whether they be verbs, nouns, pronouns, adjectives, participles, and the article the, have different forms to indicate such matters as gender, number, and case. So, as was pointed out to me a week or two ago by Gary, that Greek, Koine Greek verbs and nouns and pronouns and adjectives and participles and definite articles are all and can all be inflected. But I do believe as we move on, as we're going to find that Koine Greek words are conjugated and Koine Greek nouns are declined. All right, I believe that I have that correct now. All right, let's move on. And we're going to move on to page number 17. Turn to page 17, the gray box there. Okay. Page 17, it states the present and future active indicative on the top of the page. Well, what does all that mean? We went over that last week and the week before. We know that, we have different moods in the Greek, and that was back on page 12. We learned about the indicative mood, the imperative mood, the subjunctive mood, and the infinitive mood. These four moods, back on page 12, are the major moods that we find in the Koine Greek. There are others, but Professor Black wanted us to concentrate on these four main moods. All right. The indicative mood we read before or learned before is the mood of reality or the mood of affirmation. And then we have the, as we're going to see, we have the active and the future. Those are voices. Oh, no, they're not. Hold on a second. Well, let's continue. We have the active indicative. What we're going to learn about today is we're going to learn about the active indicative, the present active indicative, and we're going to be learning about the future active indicative. And the word active means that the subject is performing the action. And so what we're going to be learning about today in our exercise is we're going to be learning about the present active indicative mood, and we're going to be learning about the future active indicative mood. So the active indicative mood is one where the subject is performing the action, and the action or the mood is one of affirmation or reality. It's like the here and now. What's going on here and now? It's not in the past. It's not in the future. It, the present active indicative is here and now, and the subject is doing the action or performing the action, okay? That's very important. And then we're going to look at the future active indicative, where the subject is performing the action, and the action is one of reality, but it's done in the future, all right? And, you know, it's important as we go. It's important as we go. What's happening is we're learning the Koine in little chunks, if you don't realize that. We're learning the Koine in little chunks, little important chunks as we go. And it's very important that we get these little chunks of information down, because each chunk of information builds on the next one, and it builds on the next one, all right? And you're going to see that as we go. And we've learned things already in the first three lessons that are, you know, they're pretty important to get down, to incorporate into your mind and heart. You know, but even in the first three lessons, and what do we got? We have 26 lessons altogether. I can say that even in the first three lessons, 23, 25 lessons, even in the first three lessons, if you master the information there, you've come a long, long way in the Koine Greek already. So let's go on as far as page 17 is concerned. In the gray box, it says related patterns of verbs are known as conjunctions. Now, we read about inflection of Greek words, and we're going to see of nouns and pronouns and other things, but now we're learning about verbs being conjugated. All right, so verbs can be inflected, and verbs can also be conjugated. And the word conjugated, it states, comes from the Latin word coniugo, I join together. And it states the entire Greek verb system may be divided into two basic conjugations. All right? So we're talking about verbs. Verbs can be inflected, but verbs also can be conjugated. And in the Koine Greek, all we have to learn about is two major conjugations. And these conjugations are two major patterns of verbs. Okay? And goes on to say the two basic conjugations are the omega conjugation and the mu iota conjugation. These terms refer to the ending of the first person singular suffix in the present active indicative. The older, and we'll go over that a little, and like I said, we're going to concentrate on the present active indicative of some Koine Greek verb forms tonight, and we're going to concentrate on the future active indicative. And think of it as that, you know, you might say, oh, I'm getting blown away out by all this. Give it a chance. Go over it again. Let it work in. Take up your scriptures, a Greek interlinear. Look it over. Look at the forms there. You can even look at the English below them. And try to notice what you've learned already. And all of a sudden you're going to be shocked, and you're going to say, hey, I know why that form is that meaning, and I know why it is. I know what the first person singular of the omega conjugation is in a particular Greek verb form. You know, that in itself, if you could say that, you're going to sound like a genius right off the bat, right? You can go out and have some coffee and, you know, impress all your friends even with just that, and that's 1 + 1. It states the most common mu iota verb is ami. I am. used about 2,500 times in the Greek New Testament. So every time, what's important is that mu iota conjugation of a me I am is used 2,500 times in the Koine Greek New Testament. So that in itself, if you open up the Greek New Testament and page through it, you can realize that the conjugation of I am in the Koine Greek, you're going to see it over 2,500 times in the Lord's New Testament scriptures. That's really important, isn't it? Yes, it is. Very important. Something to kind of just remember, stick that in the back of your mind. However, the great majority of New Testament verbs belong to the omega conjugation. Mastering this conjugation, therefore, is essential before attempting to read the Koine Greek New Testament. Okay, so that's something you have to master, the omega conjugation. This lesson introduces the conjugations of luo, which means to I loose, which means I loose, in the present and future active indicative, and the conjugation eimi, I am, in the present indicative. All right, we're going to be, and see, the reason I'm going over this is what's going to happen is as I stated, in one of your notebooks, in the second notebooks, you should be writing down paradigms. All right, and we went over that. So you should have a vocabulary, and really, you know, like, you don't have to. I don't have to. We don't have to do anything. You know, but if you have a vocabulary, a Koine vocabulary notebook, and each time we go over a vocabulary root or form, you write it down. And you go back and look at it. A couple weeks later, we come to another class. You're going to have 20 more forms to write. You write those down. It becomes, the letters become familiar, the accents become familiar, and then the meanings of those forms become familiar, and you make these things your own. You know, like all of you have a, you know, you're spending time, you're spending money, you have the wherewithal to be on here. Why don't you make this your own? You know, I'm going to make this my own, and I particularly don't spend enough time in it, but I do know the joy in it, and so I would say to you, make this your own. So, you have a vocabulary notebook, and then you should have a paradigm notebook. Now, let's look back on page 12. And this is a paradigm. we noticed last time. And we'll just read a little above that gray box. That's what's known as a paradigm. It has a Greek root, and then it has suffixes or endings on it. And then some of these endings apply to other Greek verb forms. So the beauty of this is that, you know, if you learn these six suffixes or endings here, these will also apply to more Greek forms than echo, meaning to have. That's what you're seeing here. I have, you have, he has, we have, you have, they have. Well, and then you notice the endings here. Omega, you have ice, you have a, you have amen, you have eta, and you have usi. And this is a paradigm. And these endings occur in other Greek verb forms. So, you know, and then what you should do is you should write that paradigm down. And this paradigm is of I have. And it's in three persons, singular and plural. First person, second person, third person. Singular is on the right, plural is on the left. The singular endings are omega, epsilon iota sigma, and epsilon iota. O, ace, a. And then for the plural it's amen, eta, usi. And you'll find these endings on many other Greek verb forms. So you should write that paradigm down, because if you learn that paradigm, you'll be studying through the Koine Greek New Testament, and you might see echo, I have, or you might see exousi, which is they have, but then you're going to see other Greek verb forms with the same ending, and you're going to say, hey, that Greek verb form is in the third person plural, meaning they. You know, so this all builds upon itself. You can see that. It just keeps on building and building. But, you know, does it take time? Yeah. Energy? Yeah. Does studying the scriptures? Yeah. And see, we're supposed to present ourselves as diligent workmen. So you can apply the same diligence that you have in the scriptures to the Koine Greek. Right? I mean, you all of you know the energy and the concentration and prayer that it takes to study the Word of God. You can use the same concentration and prayer studying the Koine Greek is what I'm saying. And I am sure that the Holy Spirit will help you along, no doubt about it. All right, so in your other notebook, you should be writing down paradigms. Very important. And then you write down these endings and how they apply to the particular Greek verb form and what mood, and then if it's in the present or future, at least to this point. All right. So let's turn to page 18. And we'll find another pair. We'll find the same paradigm there. You'll see that on page 18. Omega, ace, I, amen, eta, usi, usin. And you'll find that there's connecting vowels to amen and eta. We studied that. You'll read that below. And basically what that paradigm means in the English is I. You see that below there in the gray box. I, you, or he, she, it. We, you, they. And see, just in learning that paradigm alone will take you a long way. We notice at the bottom of page 18 another paradigm, which deals with the future active indicative of the Greek form luo, meaning to I loose. So far, in the knowledge that we have the paradigm of the Greek form echo, I have, and now we're going to learn the paradigm of luo, which is I loose. And we're going to learn the present active indicative and the future active indicative. So we're going to learn, and you're going to notice different endings for the future active indicative. You'll notice that on the right where it says future. And we know from last time that in the future active indicative, according to a rule that we studied on page 19, that a sigma was added in order to specify the future active indicative, and you can see that. Let's look down at the gray box on the bottom of 18, the paradigm there. I suggest you copy this down in your notebook, just like the other paradigm that we looked at on page 12 that I told you to write down for the Greek form I have, echo, all right? And see, as you write this down, it's going to become familiar to you. And rather than being like me at times where I go, oh man, I mean, look at all of this and we're just starting. Well, why don't we look at it like this? Why don't we look at it like, look at how much we're learning and look at how much more we can recognize as we learn. So looking at the paradigm down on page 18, we notice luo in the first person singular, ilus. And see, notice the endings on there of the present active indicative of ilus. You have, as we learned, we have the omega ending, the ace, the I, the amen, the eta, and the usen. Those are all present active indicative endings for the Greek form ilus. Luo, ilus, luace, ulus, lue, he looses, luomen, luamen, we loose, lueta, you loose, and luusen, they loose. Now, if you look to the right, you're going to learn the future active indicative of the Greek form to loose. And here's how it's pronounced. You'll see that on the right side of the gray box at the bottom of page 18. Luso, luso, I will loose. Luses, you will loose. Luse, he will loose. Lusamen, we will loose. Lusita, you will loose. And lususin, they will loose. So you notice that in comparing the two from the present to the future active indicative, that a sigma was placed in between by the rule on page 19, which I won't go over. All right, so again, write this down, learn it, take it in, and just learn as we go. Try to learn the things that we go over very well before going ahead. And see, what we've done so far is we go over things. I tend to go back and go over things, but that's good, and I'm going to do it time and time again, because after a while, maybe you're going to hear things so much that you won't help but be able to learn it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's great. And I do know, with the help of the Holy Spirit, that this will help you all. Now, we're going to get into some vocabulary. We're going to go back onto some vocabulary, and then we are going to do the lesson on pages 24 and 25, and look those over and discuss them, okay? Is everybody still with me? Is everybody still awake? All right, have I lost anybody? Okay, I tell my patients that they call me Dr. K, Dr. Kevorkian, okay? So you're a lot better off than them. They call me Dr. K, and then I laugh, and the patients still sit there, so. And vocabulary is very important, very, very important. You're going to see that I'm going to go over some vocabulary on turn to page number 8. We're going to go through vocabulary on page 8. We're going to go through vocabulary again on, give me a second here, on page 23. And then we're going to go through vocabulary, turn to page Oh, 23, yeah, I'm sorry. We're going to go through vocabulary on page 8 and 23 up to this point. And here's one important fact. Think about this. Now, we notice that the conjugation of the mu iota conjugation of I-M is found, what, over 1,500 times in the New Testament. All right, remember that? We read that a few minutes ago. So I-M, the conjugation of I-M is very, was that 2,500 times? Oh, I'm sorry, man, Gary, man, you're pretty sharp, Gary. You must really take that B complex a lot. Not saying that your others don't, but that in itself is very important. Oh, yeah, in the front row, yeah. I used to do that and still do that at conferences. Great, Gary. Be precise. Yeah, let's all be precise. Now you'll notice. I just want to state this before we go on, that the Greek forms on page 23, Dr. Black states, are found 6,487 times in God's New Testament scriptures. So if you learned the forms on page 23, the Greek forms and their meanings, 6,487 times you'd be finding them in the New Testament. Pretty important, isn't it? So we have the conjugation of I-M found 2,500 times. He means the vocabulary for the... Are you sure? Oh, where did you read that, Gary? Hold on a second here. All right. I know I found it somewhere, and I thought he meant, all right, well, we might have a, where'd you find that, Gary? Oh, here we go. Turn to page 24. Maybe I got this wrong. Beginning with this lesson, you will find a list of the most frequent used words or forms in the New Testament. This first vocabulary contains words that occur. Yeah, see, I think I was right, Gary. Do you think? See, it says here, you will find a list of the most frequent in the New Testament. Oh, beginning with this lesson. The first vocabulary contains words or forms that occur a total of 6,400 times. All right, well, you know, I'm not sure you're right, Gary. I'm not sure you're right about that one. The first vocabulary contains words that occur a total of 6,487 times. Yeah. I'm not sure if you're right with that one, Gary, but it really doesn't matter. Beginning with this lesson, you will find a list of the most frequently used words. The first vocabulary contains words that occur a total of... Yeah, see, okay, well, I think we'll go on there, but I still don't agree with you, Gary. I still don't, you know, as far as I read that... Oh, yeah, sit down, Gary. Yeah, as far as I read that, Gary... Because I guess I could say this: how many forms are in the Greek New Testament? Only 6,487? No. Okay, we could say how many words are in the Greek New Testament, Gary? 6,487? No. You know, there's got to be thousands more, right? I guess we could look at it that way. This first vocabulary contains words that occur a total of 6,487 times in the Greek New Testament. So, maybe Gary's right. I think he's wrong. I think that you will find this first vocabulary on page 23. These forms are going to be found a total of 6,487 times in the Koine Greek. Just like, well, I guess we can move on. Yeah, I think he's wrong. See, now two of us think you're wrong, Gary. So, you know, if, yeah, see, I guess in thinking this, Gary, are there 6,487 vocabulary words in the New Testament? No. There's got to be thousands and thousands more, right? Would you agree with that? Gary, did you run away? Do you agree that there are six... Oh, all right. Well, at any rate, let's move on, all right? And we're going to go over the vocabulary on page 8 and on page 23. And here again, you know, this isn't a forum for, you know, anybody getting on anybody else or anything at all. Gary could be right, I could be right, and, you know, we'll just move on from there. And, you know, Gary, I'm not trying to prove you wrong or anything like that. You know, we're just trying to learn what's true. Okay, so that's a small point. That's a small point. Do you agree, Gary? Gary. Okay, well, yeah, maybe what we can do is we can talk about this after we're done. All right? All right, turn to page 8. We're probably going to be going on for another 45 minutes. Are you guys want to do that? Are you guys willing to do that? Okay, let's turn to page 8. The first vocabulary word, apostolos, it means apostle. Next vocabulary word, soma, means body. Phone means sound. Cardia means heart. Phobos means fear. Genos means race. Philippos means Philip. Exodus means departure. Zoe means life. Petros means Peter. Theos means God. Gune means woman. Patre means father. Pater means father. Pater. Tsupse means soul. Palis means city. And Christos means Christ. Let's turn to page 23. So I would, like I said, I would be, I think it would be helpful to write these Greek forms down. Let's turn to page 23. And here we're going to see the present and future active indicative at work. The top of page 23. Ago means to I lead. Axo. One second. Axo means I will lead. Akuo, I hear. Akuso, Akuso means I will hear. Baptizo means I baptize. Baptiso, I will baptize. Blepo, I see. Blepso, I will see. Grapho, I write. Grapso, I will write. Didasco, I teach. Didaxo, I will teach. Doxaxo, hold on a second. Doxadzo, that's how you would pronounce that. Doxadzo, I glorify. Doxadso, I will glorify. Etoimadzo, I prepare. Etoimadzo, I prepare. Etoimaso, I will prepare. Echo, I have. Exo, I will have. Therapuo, I heal. Therapuso, I will heal. Keruso, I preach. Keruxo, I will preach. Luo, I loose. Luso, I will loose. Patho, I trust in. Peso, I will trust in. Tempo, I send. Tempso, I will send. Pisteo, pistuo. Pistuo, I believe. Peace to so, I will believe. Sozo, I save. So-so, I will save. Amy, I am. May, not, used with the non-indicative moots, and ooh, not, used with the indicative mood. All right, let's turn to the lesson. On pages 24 and 25, okay? Is everybody still with me? You got to say yes. See?
Yes.
All right, and then, you know, like what we'll do is we can talk about any questions at the end of this. I just want to, you know, with all due respect to all of you, I want to get through this, and then we can discuss anything you want to. All right? Now, what's going to happen is on the lesson on pages 24 and 25 are going to bring some of the things that we learned together. All right, so we know that we have an answer key to these lessons. The answer key to lesson 3 is found on page 221 of your text. Think of it is that as you go through these lessons, as you go through these lessons, you should do them without looking, and then you can go back and look to see if you were right or not. And so this will reinforce, you know, if you do it without cheating, it'll reinforce your ability and what you've learned already. All right, but take a gander at sentences 1 through 11. All right, and what we're going to learn about here is we're going to be learning about the present active indicative, and we're going to be learning about the future active indicative. We're going to be learning different meanings of Greek forms, and we're going to be learning about different persons of the Greek forms that we learned in the paradigms that we looked over already. All right, that's what this lesson's all about, and it's, you know, it's really excellent. We're also going to be seeing a question or two and what a question mark looks like. And, you know, we're going to be understanding the paradigm endings. We're going to be seeing that. So let's look at line number one. Blepes. Blepes means you see. And according to the ending, it's in the second person singular. Remember, we learned that in the paradigm that we should be writing down. You see. This is in the present active indicative. All of the words of line number one are in the present active indicative. And going over what the present active indicative is, again, we know that the present active indicative, it's in the present tense. It's the subject performing the action, and it's the mood of reality. We apply that to the form blepes, and it means you see. The present active indicative in the second person singular. I see, you see, he sees. The next Greek form is graphes. It means you write. It's in the present active indicative, and it's in the same person, the second person singular. Graphes. You write. The next form is ou hempes, and it means you do not. We see the negative there, ou. In the, you know, the ou is used in the active indicative. You do not send. That's also in the second person singular, according to the paradigm that governs the present active indicative. Does that make sense to you guys? You're going to have to say something. What we just read makes sense to you guys. All right. Now, see, if you had before you, if you had before you two or three notebooks, you could be looking at the paradigm at the same time. You wouldn't have to be paging back and forth, you know, back to the paradigms on these pages. You'd have it written before you. And I think what's good about that is you could have two or three notebooks in front of you, and you could see everything readily at one glance. Does that make sense to you? Rather than paging back and forth to see if what I'm saying is correct. Okay? You know, and I think that would be helpful. That's the reason why I think that you know, having two or three notebooks is good. All right, let's turn to line number two. All right, age. It means he leads, and it is in the third person singular. Do you see that? Because of the ending epsilon iota. He leads. The next form we have is baptizo. He baptizes. These two are in the active present active indicative. And the last form on line two is he does not lose. Ulue. Present active indicative. This is in the third person singular. You'll notice because of the epsilon, iota, ending, according to the governing paradigm. All right? He leads. He baptizes. He does not lose. Remember, you could write this lesson down, the translation of this lesson. You could write down if it's in the present active indicative or the future active indicative. You could write down each of these forms and what person they're in. And if it's singular or plural. And you're coming a long way. All right? Line three. Ακούμεν. We hear. It's in the first person plural. It's in the present active indicative. Ακούμεν. Ακούμεν. Sorry. The first person plural. The next form is ετοιμάζομεν. And that means we prepare in the first person plural. The last form on line three is πιστεύομεν. Πιστεύομεν. Ου πιστεύομεν. And what ου πιστεύομεν means, we do not believe. Ου πιστεύομεν. In the first person plural present active indicative. Pretty awesome, really. Line number four. Γραφέτε. Γραφέτε. This is in the second person plural, according to the ending. And it means you write. As in a group of people. You write. The next form on line number four is πέθετε. Πέθετε. And that means you trust in. And that also is in the second person plural, according to the ending. You all trust him. Πέθετε. The next form on line number four is ου σώζετε. Ου σώζετε. It means they do not loose. You do not save. I made a mistake. You do not save. Ου σώζετε. You do not save. It's in the second person plural. Ου σώζετε. You do not save. Does that all make sense to you guys? Great. Line number five. Blepusin. Blepusin, actually. I'm sorry. Blepusin. Blepusin. It's in the third person plural. They see. Blepusin. Didaskusin. Didaskusin. They teach. That's also in the third person plural, according to the ending. Remember the usin and uluasin. Uluasin. This is the one. They do not lose. So we notice that in going back to line number one, those were the second person singular endings. Line number two. Those were the third person singular endings. Line number three was the first person plural. Line number four was the second person plural. Line number five was the third person plural. All right? Now, let's go back and let's read the meaning of all of these lines. Looking at the form. Blepes, you see. Graphes, you write. U pempes, you do not send. Agai, he leads. Baptize. It should be age, or age. He leads. Baptize, he baptizes. Ulue, he does not loose. Line 3. Akuamen, we hear. Etoi matzomen, we prepare. U peace tuamen, we do not believe. Line 4. Graphita, you write. Pathita, you trust him. U sozita, you do not save. Line 5. Blepusim, they see. Didaskusin, they teach. U luasin, they do not loose. Okay, turning to looking up at line number 6. Now what he's going to do is he's going to throw in different verb forms in a line to try to mess you up a little. All right? So, line number 6. Baptize. This is in the third person singular. Baptize. And it means he baptizes, or she baptizes, or it baptizes. He or she baptizes. He baptizes. The next form on line number 6 is didaskamen. This is in the first person plural. You notice that by the ending. And this means we teach. And then the last form on line number 6 is ukakusen. And it means they do not hear in the third person plural. By the way, these are all in the present active indicative mood. Line number 7, we notice that all the forms have a semicolon after them. This is a question. This is a question. So, line number 7. Sozo. It's in the first person singular, and it means, do I save? In a question. The next form is therapeutē. It's in the third person singular, and it means, does he heal? Therapeutē, question mark, does he heal? These are all in the future active indicative, by the way, on line number 7. And the last form is pempusin, and that means, do they send? Do they send? Pempusen. It's in the third person plural. All of those were in the future active indicative mood. Now, again, you could take the information that we're learning, write it down, write it multiple times, look it over until your mind becomes familiar. At the beginning of all of this, a few lessons ago, Dr. Black said that we wouldn't have to sit down and, you know, like through rote memory and memorize, you know, everything that we're seeing. You know, I agree with that, but also going over things and writing certain things down, like the paradigms, I believe, and memorizing those is very important. So, let's look at line number 8. Line number 8. We have A. It's the second person singular, and it is the mu iota conjugation of, and it means you are. The next form is esmen. It means we are. And it's in the second, or it's in the third person, pardon me, it is in the first person plural, esmen, according to the ending. And then we have the last form there in line 8, esta, este, esta, esta. And that means you are. But that is in the second person plural. So we have you are, we are, you are. But the last you are is in the second person plural, according to the ending, as you see. Now, we know that line number 8 is that present or future? Oh, all right. That's in the present active indicative. Those forms are not in the future. You are, we are, you are all present active indicative. All right? Is everybody still awake? We just have a little ways to go. All right? You know, all right, let's turn to line number 9. Akuse. Akuse, it means he will hear. It's in the third person singular. Next form is baptise. This means he will baptize. That's also in the third person singular. And then we have exe, which is also in the third person singular, and it means he will have. So here we have the future active indicative mood of hear, he will hear, he will baptize, and he will have. Line 10, graphsomen, in the first person plural, we find, you'll notice that in this line, this is also in the future active indicative, according to the changes that occur within the forms. You know, we could go back and learn the rule, but that's something that I'm going to let you do yourself. Graphsomen, the first person plural is we will write. Didaxomen, we will teach. Keruxomen, we will preach. All of these are in the first person plural, and they're all in the future active indicative. Line number 11. U lucita, second person plural, you will not loose. Next form is u daxases. U daxases. In the second person singular, you will not glorify. The last form is u pesamen. It's in the first person plural. We will not trust in. Line number 11 also is in the future active indicative. So the last three lines here, line number 9, line number 10, and line number 11 are all in the future active indicative. So we can see we can notice the difference in the forms in the future active indicative there. Well, I would say that's the lesson for tonight. And I think that Gary had something about the AME. You said not active, just indicative. Now, that's interesting. Let's go back to that. The AME. Just so that we get everything correct here. Let's see, where was that? Oh, the present indicative. All right. I think Gary's right on that one. Apparently they don't for the conjugation. Well, you know, I really don't want to make a statement on that, but I think at this point, as far as that AME conjugation, Gary was right. It's just indicative as far as, what line was that? As far as line number 8 of the lesson there. Yeah, asamen and eseta. All right, well, I hope that, thanks, Gary. I hope that that this is all beneficial for you guys. And, you know, I'm going to continue working on here. And like I said, you know, this, what did somebody say about what was that term where they talk about 90% perspiration and 10% inspiration? That seems like what the Koine Greek is going to be, but I found that in the Christian life, the true Christian life, it's one where, you know, sitting on your rear end isn't the place to be. That a lot of times the Lord has us up, moving, working, thinking, and doing. Ones that would cloister themselves and always have opinions about this and that, about this preacher and what he doesn't do right, and things like that. And then they go off into their ivory towers or something like that. That's not the way to be. So all of us here, I mean, I can learn from you. Yeah, inspiration is 90% perspiration. Yeah. Yeah, I think Thomas Edison, too, if I read his story right, he failed like 40 or 50 times before some of his great works came to be. He might have... Some of these guys went bankrupt about two or three times on the way too. So, you know, I believe that the Lord wants us working out our own salvation, being diligent in the Word. Your comments. I like your comments so that we can get things right. All I'm about doing here is getting things correct. So, I have no problem with questions or corrections at all. So that's good. We're all working together. We're all sons of God and we're a team here, okay? So I hope this is beneficial to you. I know it is to me. And I'm gonna keep on keeping on, and I guess I have it in my craw. I don't care what happens, how confusing things might be. I do know that going over these things is very helpful. I can't emphasize that enough, that and you're going to have to put the time in. I'm going to have to put the time in, okay? So thanks a lot for being thanks a lot. Okay, Gary, yeah. And I'll open up the mic now for any questions, okay?